Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. It's me, Simon Cardi, with two hot boys, Matt Perslow.
Hello.
Jesse Gomez.
Hey.
Hey, hot boys. I'm not afraid to call people hot if they're looking hot, and you boys are looking hot.
It's quite warm in here, to be fair, but yeah.
The weather is getting a bit on the hotter side, isn't it? Not. I wouldn't say hot, but you know, we're getting sweaty into warm territory at times.
It's a mild 15 degrees where I am.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what, though? Looks bloody warm on Arrakis. I know you're avoiding that Dune trailer, Matt, but I watched it, and my God, could I not be more excited for a film now than that? God.
It is one of those where it's kind of like, I'm biting at the bit for like a film. Like, mm-hmm. All the start of this year, I've been trying to watch like films that I consider films rather than kind of like just popcorn. And mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I'm looking for like a Scorsese joint, but just stuff like The Menu is the kind of thing that I'm looking for. Those kind of things that have got a bit more substance to it than a lot of the stuff that we cover. And obviously, Dune is a big sci-fi, but has that substance, has that kind of like production.
Well, all I'll say is it looks phenomenal, sounds even better. I cannot wait. Big milky Austin Butler is looking creepy. So
he's playing Fade Roofer, isn't he? So he's Sting's character from the Lynch version.
it's just gonna be good. Yeah, we were talking yesterday. We've got what a summer to winter. We've got Barbie, Oppenheimer, Mission Impossible, Indiana Jones, and then Dune.
Asteroid City.
Films are back, baby. I don't know if they're ever really gone, but they're back. Can't wait for that. I'm not so excited about Gran Turismo, I won't lie. That looks fairly fairly bland.
Might have to be a streaming one, that.
Yeah, wasn't a big fan of that trailer. Anyway, we'll talk about a film later, because me and Matt last night went out, saw a little film called Guardians of the Galaxy 3, because we've been on the search for, as you're saying, on the search for a film, so we went and saw the latest MCU project. But first, let's talk about a couple of games. We will talk about Redfall, but we start on something positive first. I think, Jesse, you finished Jedi Survivor last night, didn't you?
Yeah. It was really, really good, I think. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this in previous podcasts or not, but I wasn't the biggest fan of Fallen Order. For me, the combat was just a bit too slow, and the level design wasn't particularly my favorite. There was far too much sliding. It's clear that it's got that FromSoft inspiration. You know, you lock onto an enemy, parry a couple times, and then you move into strike. And I think for a Star Wars game, I always think back to Jedi Knight, because, you know, it has those multiple stances, it has different lightsaber styles, dismemberment as well, and it's just overall quicker and a bit more precise. And with Jedi Survivor, like, a lot of my problems I had for the original game have been fixed. You know, you are still locking onto enemies and stuff, and it's not as fast as I still prefer, but you have those different stances. The action is more refined, closer to something. I think you mentioned this previously, Matt, in a piece you did. It's like more Sekiro instead of more like, you know, like Demon Souls, essentially, on the PS3. Just it feels faster and better.
It's largely switched from being a defensive fighter to a very offensive fighter, and sort of like you have to kind of like, you know, essentially find the rhythm between the blade of your opponent and yours.
Yeah.
Whereas because a lot of enemies didn't necessarily fight that way in the original game, there was less, it kind of had a different vibe to it.
Yeah, I finished it this week as well. And yeah, I think my main takeaway is it's obviously, yeah, that quick combat, but I think this time they've lent so much more heavily into being inspired by God of War and Titanfall than a Souls game, which they did in the first one. And some of the best moments of this game is when it goes almost Uncharted, God of War style, cinematic, and then you've got those, like, I'm not going to spoil sections later on, but a couple of distinct levels where I was like, this feels like something out of like the end of Titanfall or something, and Titanfall 2 to be specific. And yeah, it just felt like, not that Fallen Order was a bad game, and I thought it was a bad game, perfectly fine. But this is like a proper return to like Respawn being like one of my most, like, you know, the more and more exciting studios out there, I think. And yeah, I've finished it. I'm going to go around and do, I'm not sure I'm going to get the plat, I'm not sure, but I'm good. There's so much more to do. And I've been pottering around, more excited.
Like an hour before work, I was pottering around it. I was like, I actually think I prefer the kind of like, you know how Dale, when we were doing our God of War spoiler cast, was talking about the concept of like, he really liked that he barreled through the main story. And then it meant that he'd almost got like an entire game left to play. And he had a great... And, you know, I have had a similar experience with God of War. I think I did more during the time. But with Survivor, I have done that. I barreled through the main campaign. I did that in 20 hours. And now I'm playing this other game. And I actually prefer this other game to God of War's quote-unquote other game. I actually think I like doing the other shit in this world more than I like God of War's equivalent of this. And I think of God of War's very highly.
Yeah, I think God of War, like, if you talk God of War or God of Ragnarok, I think they're better games in totality, if you ask me. But Fallen Order is my game of the year so far, and I do agree, I think you mentioned it last week, I do think one area this trumps God of War is in its level design and its puzzle design. They're more interesting in this. They're more, they do feel a bit more open.
Part of it's but like it's Jedi, right? Like being able to do those flips and wall runs and stuff like that creates these really beautiful traversal puzzles.
Yeah, it's almost like, we haven't mentioned it before, but there is a lot of, and I suppose they were kind of probably influenced by Jedi's in some way, but there is a bit of control to it as well. Like, control, you basically have Jedi powers, and that was essentially a Metroidvania, wasn't it? So, there's just a lot in Jedi of games I love. There's a lot of, like, there's like five of my favorite games meshed into this game, and it's not perfect. Like, I do think, like you said, the story towards the end picks up and is good, but for the most part, is fairly meh. But yeah, I just want to play more. Yeah, I'm not done with it yet. And,
I'm on the like picking around, like doing the bounties at the moment, because I only actually did one bounty as part of kind of the storyline, and so now I'm just going off doing bounty hunts. One of the things that I just love is like loads of the bounty hunters have got like lightsabers and shit like that, because it's in an era where the whole point of being a bounty hunter would be go and hunt down Jedi's. Like they'd have that as part of, like, it would be an easy task. Well, not obviously an easy task to pick up a Jedi, but you're in an era when everybody's like, kill the Jedi, like Order 66 has been put through. And it probably would be a bounty board where it's like, do you think you're hard enough? And if they've killed a Jedi, it's just like, that's my prize, isn't it? I get a lightsaber now. It's like, you're not necessarily good with it, but it means that for me, I get more opponents that have got lightsabers that aren't just like evil Sith Lords.
Were you like me, and every time you went on a new mission, changing your outfit and your lightsaber color every time, or were you just sticking with one the whole time?
I think I said last time that I found like the thematic kind of run through of kind of like I chose Cal's outfits and lightsaber designs to go with the story arc, so he became much more Jedi looking as the story goes on.
I think I tried them all ultimately, but yeah,
you were wearing the mullet, weren't you?
I didn't. Do you know what? I didn't even find the mullet. I haven't even got it.
Neither did I until this morning. I found it this morning.
I had the like bandana look, the one with the headband look.
Kind of Cobra Kai look.
Yeah, and I've got the big moustache as well, and I've got like the orange pilot outfit as well. I just look cool.
My cowl, and it was only pointed out to me yesterday, because early on in my playthrough, I didn't realize that my guy sort of looked like Theo Von, like the American comedian. I don't know if you've ever seen him before. Sort of just like a redneck looking dude. Like, I had the vest on and stuff and just also like a bad haircut. But then I sort of gradually shifted to having a more musketeer looking Cal Kestis with like commander outfit on and nice purple lightsaber.
I like changing a BD up. Mainly I just had him as like R2-D2 blue and white
colors.
But then for a couple of missions I made him green and brown and called him my little Shrek bot. But there we go. What a fun game, and yeah, I can't wait to get into more. A very pleasant surprise. Maybe it shouldn't be a surprise. Why would we doubt Respawn? It's just,
I think it's surprising how good it is. Like it's a top tier kind of like high eight, mid nine kind of game.
If you're not playing on PC, that is, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I had a rotten time doing that, but I pulled through. But yeah.
Yeah. Very good game. I wish we could say the same about Redfall. And I know, Matt, this one hurts you probably more than most of us, because you are our resident Arcane fan. Don't get me wrong, I love Arcane games, but you have a soft spot for Arcane.
It's an adoration, you know, I suppose, isn't it? They're like one of my in the top five studios of all time for
exactly.
me.
And this is your chance now. We'll give you the platform to just, you know, if you need to cry,
cry and scream. Yeah.
Here we go. Redfall, where's it all gone wrong?
So I think that is a question that I hope one day is answered. I do not believe for one second that this is just the case of a developer that has gone out and made an absolute travesty, like on their own kind of like merry path.
Yeah, something must have happened.
For me, this feels like there's a big kind of issue between mistakes made by Arcane, mistakes made by Bethesda and ZeniMax, and mistakes made by Microsoft. I cannot tell you what those mistakes are. I was not in the rooms when they happened. But some developers make shit games, right? And some developers we know, we just consider developers that aren't in the upper echelons of other things, and we expect their games to, we come in with lower expectations for them. Arcane has never made a bad game, in my opinion. All of Arcane's games are in my top tiers for this.
Yeah.
Obviously, Arcane is split into two studios. You have Arcane Leon, which are the guys that made Deathloop the other year. Mm-hmm. This is from the team that made Prey. I think Prey is fantastic. I think Prey Mooncrash is kind of an expansion of that, is fantastic. For this game to come from that developer, I think is very, very surprising. So I do think there's more to it than just this is a bad game, but that's what makes it a tragedy. For anybody that doesn't know, I'm sure you do, like it's been since this game came out on Tuesday, it's literally all anybody's bloody been talking about. Arcane, the guys that made like Dishonored and Prey, have made a open world 4-player co-op shooter, which is a bit like, I guess, a Borderlands game to a certain extent.
If you want to be harsh, it's Avengers, but with vampires instead of
to a degree, yes.
Aim.
It's got looter shooter elements. There's vampires. There's kind of like a, I guess, what you consider quite a loose story. It's much more about kind of like going out and pottering around and doing missions. Yeah. And I've now played about 18 hours of this between played it with you guys. I've played it with other people that were reviewing at the time. And there is, I think the biggest tragedy about this game is when I compare it to another co-op game that came out a couple of years ago, Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, that everything about that game is bad. It came from like a very unproven developer, and everything about it was utterly miserable. I don't think everything about Redfall is utterly miserable. I think there are some ideas in here where you can see the absolute shine of Arcane like piercing through what is essentially a giant pile of rocks. some really interesting ability work, some good occasional good level design. But ultimately, this is a game that I'm now at the 50% mark on this game. So I've played half of what it has to offer. All of it has been going out into empty areas to fetch an item and bring it back. There have been two missions that were something different. One of which was the mission that they gave us for me to go and preview, which is why my preview was like reasonably upbeat, because it was a Dishonored style. Did you guys play House? No, Cardi, I've played House of Echoes with you, right? Yeah. Which is, you know, a Dishonored style. There's a big mansion with multiple ways in. And when you get in, you kind of have to pick your way around, like clear out rooms, find where different items are, and piece together a story. In 50% of the game, which is the first map, that is the only mission that's like that. There's a boss fight at the end of that section, which is not a very good boss fight. It starts with a really wonderful visual piece. And I was like, oh, wow, this is Arcane, finally. This is a bit of their visual flair. Mm. And then it was just a boss fight where he stands in the middle of the room and you shoot him. Every other thing that I've done in this game is going through empty streets to pick things up to bring them back.
Yeah. I mean, it just reminded me of like when we actually started playing it properly, mm-hmm. all of us, just that one time. And one of the first missions we did, if not like actually the first proper mission we did, was an NPC asking like, can you return my father's watch to my mum's grave so that, you know, the family can be together? And in my head, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. We're going to go over there, fight some vampires. Maybe we're going to enter like the family crypt or something. Like we're going to a graveyard, vampires. It's going to be creepy. It's not like that at all. We just went there, dropped the watch. I picked it up by accident.
Yeah, then you stole it again.
I stole it. But that's the thing. Like, we just killed like one or two vampires, missions over. And it's that shouldn't be an introduction.
But even you stealing it, that is the sort of thing that in Arcane would have repercussions. Like, I think you've seen both ends of this story. It doesn't have any repercussions.
No. So whatever you do, it is 99% the same. That watch, essentially, if you take it, when you have the opportunity to steal it, you obviously get it earlier in the game.
Mm.
If you don't, you just pick it up later from the same enemies that are populated later in that quest, regardless of what you do.
This is just the problem. Like, outside of all the technical issues, and this game is like riddled to hell. More than I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, not necessarily like hard crashes, but just like the actual progress stopping bugs where you have to stop, you know, manually stop the game.
We stopped playing because we literally couldn't crouch or like pause the game properly. Yeah.
Buttons stop working, textures don't load, enemies just teeper. Like, absolutely just in no state at all. But its biggest crime is, I think, even if it ran smoothly, it's just dull. And the last thing an Arcane game ever is dull. Mm. Like, you at least, it gives you a path. And like, I'm going to steal something from Skill Ups review on YouTube here. Like, the biggest crime is, like, I just think of, like, I just can't stop when I'm playing this game thinking of, like, Dishonored 2 and how that lets you. There is no one way to do any mission in that game. There is, like, four ways to do everything. And every mission in this game is, like you said, pick this up, put it there. Like, there's the example of finding the key in a building to open a door. You literally just walk around the house until you find the key on a table. That is the solution. Like, it is just, I don't see what fundamentally is gone wrong here.
It's puzzling. Obviously, kind of funny, managed to god knows how bag Phil Spencer to talk to him like 2 days after this game came out, and had this interview where he's taken full responsibility. But one of the things he does say is that this wasn't a case of a delay, and I both agree and disagree there. It's like, this game clearly should have been delayed from my perspective, just because it has shipped with far too many bugs and texture issues and things. But even when this game has been polished up to the point where it works, it is fundamentally a notable step down for Arcane, because it's quite a very basic... It's to the point where it's like, it's dull because it's very basic. It's very, very simple. And what I will say is like, I have had fun with this game with people that I've played with. The two people that I was playing with, aside from you, are very, very devout Arcane enthusiasts along with me. And we were doing that thing where you find kind of the glue between each of the abilities. And one of the things that Arcane's done, which is a strange thing, but I understand where the concept has come from, is Corvo, as a character in Dishonored, for example, has a very large skill set. And that is what enables you to make lots of different approaches to combat. And what they've effectively done is carved Corvo into four different characters. So if you want to do this element of Corvo, you play this character. If you want to do this element, you play this. So, for example, the stealth side of him is based around Jacob, you know, this sniper that can go invisible, that can scout. If you want to be the slightly more explosive version of him, you would choose Remy or Davinder, for example, who have things like they can make big electric storms, or they can use C4. And if you want the mobility of Corvo, you'd use Layla, who can create this spectral kind of elevator that fires people into the air. Now, when you've got multiple, like three people together, you can create that kind of like really nice elements of chaos that are going on. And so when all of that's firing, I think there's genuinely fun there. And like when you're using the stake launcher and all of that, like it looks great when the vampires get staked. The problem is is there are not enough frequency of interesting kind of like design setups. At least, I will emphasize this, I've only played the first 50%, which is the first map. I don't know quite how things develop later on and whether there are more interesting levels. But in that first, which I was really surprised to have got to the end of that first map, and it was like, you've done 50% of the main quests. Yeah. But in there, the fun was being made by us rather than necessarily the game's level design and objective design.
Yeah, I think I'm lower on you. Like, I'm struggling to find the fun in this game. Even when we were combining things, like, there's just literally not enough enemies for us all to have fun. There's like sometimes two enemies in a whole building.
Yeah.
Between thing, three like, of us. Like, it's ridiculous.
The enemies, like, whether they're just, you know, the human sort of zealots or the vampires, are just so incredibly stupid. Like, you could rush towards them. And I did it with literally every vampire we faced when we were playing together. Yeah. Just went right towards their face, blasted them with a shotgun a couple of times.
They're just
and
then bugs. They're just not programmed. I'm convinced they're not how they should be behaving.
Yeah.
Because, like, we've talked about this, Matt. Like, in Deathloop, the AI aren't necessarily highly intelligent, but they do enough. They're there to play with, aren't they?
And the other thing is Deathloop being roguelike inspired means you're having to do the same bits over and over. So if you're having to go through incredibly difficult, like, enemy AI stealth puzzles every time you reset the day, it would become too much, which is why the enemy AI is slightly dumber. And that's why they're all drunk, basically, in Deathloop.
Or at least they'll take cover and not just run at you with a sniper rifle. Yeah. Whereas the enemies, like, there is no intelligence. It's quite baffling.
There's also the baffling thing, like, sometimes snipers will run at you with a sniper rifle, and sometimes people with shotguns will stand still, like, 30 meters away, just unloading buckshot that essentially disappears.
I think like it's more upsetting just knowing like what Arkane has done in the past, and even just comparing like games outside of Arkane. Like I played Deus Ex, like the 2000 original, like a couple years ago for the first time, and it just shocked me how well developed and put together that game was compared to games I'd played around that time. And it has better and just more even basic immersive sim elements. It does it better than, you know, an Arkane title released in 2023. And even I'm still playing through Dead Island 2, which is a game that, you know, that's like a proper 6-7 out of 10 experience. But even that somehow, and this is amazing to me, like there's more elements in the world that you can interact with and use in combat than you can in an Arkane game.
I think
game.
They made the mistake of calling this an immersive sim.
Well,
they've
never called it an immersive sim. The problem is that we all like
to attach
to it.
Xbox did.
Oh, really? Christ.
In their description, I think, on Steam, it says an immersive sim co-op action shooter.
Right. So they've always said that it was an open world with the, like, attention to detail and ideas that Arkane like. So it is. And what I will say is, like, in the history of Arkane, Deathloop is very immersive simmy. It is not an immersive sim, right? It's a rogue-like styled shooter. And, you know, it's Prey and Dishonored are their much more pure strain immersive sims.
Yeah.
But if you look at the history of Arkane, like, this is a studio that has suffered intense hardships over their life and have had several games canned. People think that they're the studio that can only make immersive sims, and maybe that is true. Maybe their success is only ever going to come in that strain. But they have tried to make, like, The Crossing, which was going to be a big single-player shooter with multiplayer elements in it. They were going to make a Half-Life game, you know, which is a straight shooter. They were going to make LMNO, which was the game that they were making with Spielberg, I think, which would have been more of an adventure road trip. Like, they are a studio that do want to try other things, and I want to see them try other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they were like, the ideal is like Deathloop, right? Which has like this measure of immersive sim with a measure of more traditional shooty bang bang. This wasn't it. And I think, I don't think anybody at Arkane ever wanted this to come out. Like,
oh, no, no.
I can't believe it. Like, it's just, I don't like dumping all over a game, but like, I am struggling to like find the positives in this game. It's annoying because I was excited for this game, obviously, because of Arkane. I want a good co-op game to play. Like, there's not many good co-op games at the moment. I love a shooter, and I don't know, this should have ticked a lot of boxes for me. But like, honestly, at this point, if you ask me, would I rather play an hour of Avengers? I'd rather play an hour of Avengers. I know I like that game more than most people, but like, it's just it's gone horribly wrong. And I would just like, I don't know how. I don't think you can fundamentally fix it. No patch can fix this game. Yeah. It's fundamentally not. It's just not good. It's not working. Yeah. Like if you know, if I could just tell Harvey Smith and the guys at Arkane Austin, please just move on and make something. Yeah. Just make something better. Just,
well, this is the problem, right? Is Phil has said that we're going to be working on it, and I hope by that he means we're working to get it stable, and then everybody can move on, because like the game should be stable. Like for. There are people that will enjoy this game. Like, I'm not saying that there'll be a huge amount of people, but there are horses for courses, right? Like, all people have different opinions. And I, even though I probably would give it a 4 or 5, clearly enjoy it, you know, in quotation marks, more than you guys do. There are bits that, because of my love for Arkane, I can see, you know, that phrase that Bilbo uses of butter being spread over too much bread? It's like, that's what's happened here. It's like the Arkane magic is so thin. But part of me will always, like, forgive them to a certain extent for that, and we'll seek that out, and I will make the most of that minimal stuff I've got there. And there will be other people like me that will find joy in that. There are some four-star reviews out of there. Like, people are giving it 8s, sometimes 9s. Some people that do enjoy this. I don't know why they're giving it that high score.
I mean, I don't know how you could give... I mean, I'm not going to tell what reviews how to do stuff, but, you know, that any game in that state, I don't know how you can...
I know for me, it'll be something where I would be happy to play with my mates and stuff. Like, it's not a game that I can play by myself.
Yeah.
And even with all of the, you know, shortcomings and stuff, if I had a few mates to play with and, you know, we're just chatting along, messing around, just, you know, doing whatever, it's a game that I could breeze through quite easily.
I just hate being down on a game, but it just honestly, like, takes a lot for me to... It's a game that's on Game Pass. I can't even recommend, like...
I mean, like, if it's on Game Pass, I don't have, like, I would say, just check it out. And if you like it, you like it. But know that it going in, that is a fundamentally broken, very dull, it's hard to even say it's watered down Arkane, right? Because it's not really watered down Arkane. It's a busted experiment in many ways.
Yeah. That's the thing, like, it doesn't feel like a, like, you know, we've said it multiple times. It doesn't feel like an Arkane game. If, like, when I was playing it, it felt like, you know, a not so enjoyable Far Cry experience as well. Like, when we're going through the world, like, it felt eerie, but not through, like, deliberate design. It's like almost I was playing through, like, an abandoned Garry's Mod server or a multiplayer level from a game that, like, people don't play anymore. And
I think, you can, like, an example you can use, the whole game is just, at the start, it kind of opens in a cool way. I mean, we talked about how these cutscenes are just stills from the game, which... Blatantly, they just haven't had time to build any sort of cutscene or story element really to this game. But like, the town of Redfall is like kind of encircled by this like big wall of waves, which is like, I think we said, Matt, like a really cool like Arkane style idea. But then you look at it and it just looks like blue plastic. And you're like, it just sums it up. It's like there's an idea there, but they've literally, I don't know, probably had 10 minutes to work on that, whereas usually they'd spend 10 weeks working on something.
Yeah.
Like, well, I want a good vampire game. It's sad.
Well,
play Castlevania, mate.
Yeah, Castlevania's good. No, one of the things, and I know that this is a thing that works for you, Jesse, but I saw a commenter saying that Dishonored is Arkane's love letter to Thief. It's them reinventing Thief for kind of like the 21st century, right? And Prey was them reinventing System Shock for the 21st century. The real hope would this would have been like a 21st century version of Vampire the Masquerade, right? Like
exactly,
a bit more character focused, a bit more leaning into their RPG side rather than... And it still could have been co-op. Like, I still think there's
Absolutely. And like, I would love that, because when it comes to playing games, I'm always happier to play with other people than just to have like that sort of solo experience. And, you know, I was going to mention Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. Like, that came out back in 2004. And in terms of that, like, grim, dark, seedy, modern vampire aesthetic, the game excels in that. It is a buggy game, and like, people are still modding it to this very day. But you look at Arkane, and it felt empty. Like, we're just playing for like a PUBG map or something, and there were some vehicles where it's like, this map seems like we could use like these little ATVs and stuff, but you can't. Like, it just it felt like there's a bunch of ideas in front of us that were just half baked, and we didn't get their full realization.
It's a shame. Having played, like, this year, I've actually surprisingly played quite a lot of The Division 2, which is a game that I actually see the template for what a really good Arkane co-op game could be. So the way that The Division 2's campaign is set up, for anyone who doesn't know, is each of the main missions is set in like a significant building in Washington. Mm-hmm. Like one of them's in a big hotel. One of them's
museum levels. Yeah. Great.
There's a couple of different museum ones. There's one in a planetarium. There's, you know, one where you go to a factory. And when you think of it, like that's what Arkane do, right? Like in Dishonored, they take you to a very important location within the world of Dishonored and you infiltrate. There's a thing that you do in it and you exfiltrate. All of the campaign missions in The Division 2 are you go to a really important building in Washington, you infiltrate it, there's a big set piece inside, and then you exfiltrate. Mm. And I genuinely think the more I think about it, I actually think The Division 2 is quite underrated.
It is. Like in terms of like when you look at the last like 5 years of co-op games, The Division and The Division 2 got it quite well.
Yeah. Like. And that thing is when I think about the things that, Jesse, you're talking about what's missing from Redfall. The Division does this very well. Like when the factions are moving about in terms of the storyline, you'll see like who owns this area. You know, like in Redfall, the vampires own specific districts, and you're fighting back to get them. And in The Division, you can see the people that like run this section of town patrolling around. And when you get Division agents to move into those areas, they're patrolling looking for supplies as well. And when they meet, there's big shootouts and there's a feeling of kind of like people are fighting for the soul of Washington, even though the story of this game is barely tacked together with pins and like it's not really there for that.
Yeah.
It's there for the separate. And I think that would have been a really good template for Arkane's vision, but obviously it just would have been much more elaborate and cool.
Mm. Without the knee pads.
Yeah, without exactly.
Like, there's even like little tiny things where when we started the game, like you're picking up like little silly supplies, like you might be picking up a teddy bear or some like toilet paper and stuff. And in my head, I was like, oh, we can start gathering supplies for different safe houses to keep people, you know, together and stocked up. But it's just a form of currency. Like that little tiny thing would have been cool as a survival element against vampires and stuff. But it's just, it is just a not so fun Far Cry.
It's a shame.
It's a tragedy is the final point.
Well, hopefully we never... we rarely get to talk about games that are this bad. But yeah, hopefully we never talk about an Arkane that's ever approaching this bad level again.
My heart bleeds for the developers, and I hope they're all okay.
Yeah. I just want a good co-op game. IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com. I got that right, don't I? IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com. Let us know what, you know, in the last few years, what's a good co-op game? Apart from It Takes Two, everyone thought It Takes Two is a brilliant co-op game. Don't tell me that's good. I'd like a good co-op game. What's the best co-op game you've ever played? Let us know. Nice little topic.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Should we talk a little bit about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Matt? We saw it last night, and I think we both think it's aggressively fine. A solid 6 0.5 out of 10 I'd give it if we had a 0.5 scale at IGN, which I would love to have that nuance, but that's a different conversation.
Is this the final Guardians film?
It's the final. James Gunn said that's the farewell to the Guardians. Oh, okay. They'll, you know, if we ever get, they'll pop up back at some point if there's a big old, is it Secret War? I don't know. This time last year or 2 years ago, I knew everything happened with the MCU. I'm just so ambivalent now. Yeah. And it says a lot that this Guardians Volume 3 is better. I still haven't seen Ant-Man, to be fair. But I know people didn't necessarily love it. But this is the best Marvel film in the last 2 or 3 years, I think. And that says a lot. I still think it's like a 6.5, 7. Like, it's got heart and it's got its own style, which I feel like recent Marvel films have been a bit devoid of. They've tried to do hard, but it's felt a bit hollow. Whereas this, it helps that we're already connected and attached to these characters. And in particular, stuff with Rocket is very good. And some of the Quill stuff worked for me as well. But it's just, I just kind of feel like I did enjoy it. It just felt, it's 2 hours, 20 minutes. It felt longer to me. This one genuinely felt like quite long. I thought we were done. Like, I thought we were like 20 minutes from the end, probably about an hour in. but I enjoyed it enough. And I like James Gunn's shtick. It's not quite got as tired on me as Taika Waititi's shtick has got recently.
Well, but I think there's a big difference between like the trajectory of Taika's shtick within the MCU, particularly like from Ragnarok to Love and Thunder is like night and day, whereas Gunn tends to be a lot more steady in terms of his style.
I like the style. I like the, you know, the quips, the joke, and the slightly more adult humor. Like, this actually drops an F-bomb, which for I think it's the Marvel film's first ever F-bomb. But there we go. And I love the music drops, but in this one, there must be close to 15 to 20 like music tracks dropped in. Sometimes like you'll get a gap of 30 seconds in between, like three. They'll just run them after another. Two or three of them, I think, hit really well and are really good like needle drops. There's one action scene, which is one of the best recent Marvel action scenes. Generally good, like two to three minute, like one shotter basically. And yeah, there's enough stuff to like here. Ultimately, like, we paid £19 to see it at the cinema. That's how much it costs to see a film these days. I would have been equally happy waiting 2 months and seeing it on Disney Plus. I don't think I've missed much. I enjoyed it enough in the moment. I'm not going to think about it much, I think. But yeah,
there we go. 4 weeks down the line, I'll largely have forgotten about this. What I will say is that, like, as you say, the style is there. Like, it's got a confidence in its visual design, which is good to see. And it's, the CG is probably better than most Marvel films have been since Infinity War. Like, you know, Rocket and Groot still look great and all of that. I didn't laugh once throughout the entire film, but I didn't think it was unfunny. It was just like none of the jokes caught me off guard to actually...
Drax got me a couple of times, but I think that's just Dave Bautista's delivery gets me as that character, more than the writing.
But in terms of, like, structurally, this film very much is kind of like, whilst there is like an ongoing plot throughout, it kind of like, it starts to silo the Guardians into like, each one's got to have their own storyline to round out kind of like this trilogy of films. And I think, like, Rocket is top tier there in terms of, like, most of the film is dedicated to him, which is, I guess, an unusual choice, but for it not to be Peter Quill. But Quill comes in a second with kind of Gamora, and then the other ones, I think, kind of have equal dedicated time.
I thought I did quite enjoy Nebula this time around. She's kind of... I do like Nebula.
Nebula. I personally, because I know that Joshua in our review thought that Nebula was kind of the standout, and I didn't get that from it. Like, I always think Karen Gillan is very good, but for me, kind of like, I didn't get that standout quality. I do think that the Rocket stuff is the best stuff in this, which, you know, I think it's kind of like very public knowledge that it's a bit more about kind of like his origin story is kind of reflected on in this. Yeah.
They're kind of doing what the game did so well, which was connect you to Rocket. I don't want to assume they played the game and like, oh, we want to do something like this. But it's interesting. They followed a similar path.
What I will say, like, I think that the reason why I like the Rocket stuff was where I sat up and paid attention, and everything else was where kind of like it was just kind of pictures flickering in front of my face for a bit. The Rocket stuff, I think, has got more of the Gunn stuff from before MCU. It's got a little bit of his kind of cheeky darkness about it. I kind of like when I was explaining what it was like after I'd seen the film to someone, it kind of reminds me a bit of that, you know, in Toy Story, Sid like breaking toys apart and sticking them back together. Yeah. It's like, it's creepy, but in a kid's creepy sense. Like, I've seen some sites suggest that maybe like it's quite scary. I think it's fine to take a kid to just know that it's that kind of Sid torturing the toys vibe.
It does lean to the higher end of like the 12A.
Yeah.
But like, it's not terrifying.
Yeah. And that kind of stuff, I kind of just wish I was watching a film that was more about that, because I was engaged in those points. And the other stuff was a bit more like kind of Guardians as usual in many respects.
Yeah. But, and then they like throw Adam Warlock into the mix, who they kind of introduce at the end of, was it end of two or end of one? End of two. And it does feel like, well, we've got to use him now. And I wasn't a big fan of how they used him, to be honest.
Well, I mean, if you took him out, the film wouldn't change.
Yeah.
Like, there'd be one scene that would need to have like different things changed about it, but
yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't need another. He's basically they kind of make him into an idiot. I don't know if I needed another character like that.
Were you about to say he's kind of Star-Lord-y, which I agree to a certain extent. He's got a bit of Peter Quill's vibe to him, hasn't he? Just a bit duncey.
Yeah, I don't know if that's nice. I don't want to peer too much into the future, but I wonder if that's deliberate for some reasons. But I don't know. It's fine. It's just fine. I had a good enough time. I wasn't disappointed. Like, I didn't walk out going, eh.
When it comes out on Disney Plus, get yourself a good takeaway. Get a nice pizza in, or get some Chinese food.
I'd say a curry.
A good Indian. Choose your favorite Indian takeout. Get that in. Sit down. Have a nice time. I think I'd be well into that. But for me, it wasn't 20 quid's worth of cinema.
Yeah, I'm going to follow that advice and not spend any money at the moment.
No, and do you know what? I wouldn't even to be too worried about spoilers out there. I don't think it's a film that could be heavily spoiled for you.
If you're still very invested in the MCU, there are maybe some things you wouldn't want to know about, but I don't think like they would completely change the trajectory of your feelings on it.
No.
At this point, I've got into like just seeing different tweets and pictures on Reddit of just MCU films I don't even recognize anymore, and it'll probably be like the final shot and I'm just like, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
This was kind of like the last for a while that I'm like was actively like, it says a lot that we went to the cinema actively after work to go and see this. Like Marvel's it's not doing a ton for me. Like, that's another Disney Plus one for me. I am intrigued by Secret Invasion.
But at least that's on TV, right? Like, it's just watch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I'm kind of into that, so I'm hoping it's Marvel's Andor, but that's probably a big stretch. It'd probably be nothing like it. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Ant-Man's on Disney Plus in a couple of weeks. I'll finally watch that and see what I think of that. But
I don't know.
They're in a weird place because they might not have a villain for long. Anyway, let's just do an endless search. Why not? Inside. It's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we're coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search? Jesse, we've been sent in an email.
We certainly have, from Andrew. He says, I'm back with another endless search. It's one that hasn't been played for ages, so hence I can't remember what it's called. It's the IMDb game where you have to guess which four films actors are known for, according to IMDb. There's usually one or two that defy all logic. So the rules are, for those who aren't aware, a player, either being Matt or Cardi, will pick an actor from 1 to 10, and then they'll have to name a film, and if you name that film, you get 1 point. So I offer to Matt. Choose a number between 1 to 10.
Just to make it clear, we get a point per film.
Per film.
I know Andrew says you only get a point if you get all four. That's too harsh.
That's insane.
Thank you for sending the game, but that's too hard. Come on.
Also, like, to make it very clear why this game is played like this, the known four section on IMDb is like chosen by black magic. No one knows why those are, because they're not the four films that these actors are generally best well known for.
Is it like Community voted for? Or
I don't decides? I don't, it's just the fucking void that's just like, yeah.
Who edits these?
But yeah, that's why it's a bit of fun, because the four choices are often whack job choices.
It'll never be four Star Wars films if they're in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to choose number two.
Number two. Ooh. Wow, you're going for Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not a big knowledge on Jamie Foxx's filmography, so I'm going to start with...
So a couple of bangers.
Baby Driver.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, well, that's not on there.
Oh.
Cardi?
No, I thought Matt just gets to...
Do I get to just do all four?
I think you get all four. I think we... Oh, okay. How do you want to do this? Do we get, like, two each on every actor, or do we just have five actors each? What works best?
Sure, it's probably best to just try and claim the actor, right, and get as many points on your actor,
let's
right?
Go, let's yeah. go, let's okay. go for that, because there is a tiebreaker. There is a tiebreaker in case some mad shit happens.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx.
How about this? Sorry, I'm changing the rules on the fly. You get four guesses, and then I get one at the end if you don't get all four, and then vice versa.
Yeah, so okay.
Well, you get to steal one steal, basically.
This is all live, baby, so the rules can change.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Was he the... He was the voice in Soul, right? So I'm going to say Soul.
No.
No. I'm trying to pick the weird choices, but also I probably only know the weirdest choices for Jamie Foxx.
I mean, there's always the chance to go for more obvious selections. You never know what the black magic of IMDb selects.
I've got three that I think have a good chance to be on there, just to put the pressure on there. But, you know.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
That was going to be one of them for me, I think.
Sadly not.
Sadly not, no.
It's all or nothing now, Matt.
Is he in Training Day?
No.
No.
I mean, I'll let you have one more.
No, I've done my four.
He's an honourable man. I was going to... He did win an Oscar for Ray, so I thought that might be there.
That is one of the films, so you get a single point, Cardi. Congratulations.
I was
going to
say, one of my other films is... one of my favourite films is... I don't get a point for this, but I would have said Collateral.
Yeah, so movie one was Collateral. Movie two was Ray. Three, Django Unchained. And four,
of course,
Dreamgirls.
Completely forgot about Django.
Yeah, I completely forgot about Django, even though he's the main character.
Yeah, that's probably his most famous... yeah, you know, in terms of public consciousness, probably his most famous. Right, I'm gonna pick number 10.
Number 10, Zoe Saldana.
Oh, she's been in, like, what... the biggest grossing films of all time. It's just, which ones do I pick? We'll go with Avatar.
Correct.
We'll go with... See, like, which... This is always the trouble with the Marvel ones.
Fucked.
It's like, which Marvel one do you go for if... Do you know what? I'm going to go slightly rogue with Star Trek.
That's correct. You're doing fine.
I'm going to go with Infinity War.
Going to have to reveal something to you.
It's not there.
Not there, sadly.
We'll go with Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
And lucky for you, that is there. So, you got a total
Matt gets
four
a steal.
Points, Cardi.
Matt gets it. Can you get the one other Zoe Saldana film?
You said Avatar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it? Are they gonna have the fucking the losers on there?
No, definitely not.
Is definitely it? Not. Is it Colombiana? He remembers that.
Sadly, not. No,
it's
going to
be another Marvel one, isn't it?
Avatar: The Way of Water.
Oh, it's Avatar 2. There we go. 4-0, Matt. Come on.
What was that? You so we've done 10 and 2 now.
Yeah. Yep, to be fair, I think I got the easier one there.
Mm-hmm. Four.
Four, you're looking at Penelope Cruz.
Fucking hell.
you are getting the tougher ones. What's the most famous?
I would be fucked if I was playing this game.
I genuinely don't think I know any Penelope Cruz
Really?
Stuff.
Oh, this is falling into my hands, this game.
It's like the actor-based stuff is not my forte.
Mm. I will say you've probably maybe seen two of these films.
The thing is I can visualize, I can see Penelope Cruz in my mind's eye now. Like, I know exactly who she is. But I'm like, what the hell have you been in? Anyway, it doesn't matter if there's a couple that I should know, does it? I'm completely blank. I'm going to pass on this. I have no fucking clue.
I have three guesses, but I can only get 1 point, can't I, on the steal? So I'm going to have to...
You pass into Cardi.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel my, not saying I love the director, but I feel I have a little soft spot for Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
That's on there, and I didn't even know that was a film. So
really? She's also in, I imagine, Vanilla Sky's on there, and maybe Volver?
Yeah, so it would have been Vanilla Sky, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, and Volver.
There we go. I forgot she was in a Pirates film. There we go. So I only get 1 point, so it's not the end of the world. Let's go with number 6.
Number 6. That's a very good choice. Matt Damon.
God, but he's got so many. Where'd you go? We could have played these actors before, but it was 2 years ago, so I can't remember what films they had there. Matt Damon, what's his most famous films? He's got so many films. The Martian. Film Master.
That's 1 point.
I don't know why my mind went to that first. I need to rewatch that film, because I thought it was fine, but a lot of people love it. I quite like to rewatch it.
Haven't seen it.
Which one? Born Identity.
Incorrect.
Am I just going to go through them all? That's the question.
You could, but then you could be fucked.
Or the Departed.
That's two.
Matt Damon. I'm not doing the voice. I'm not going to do the voice.
Very tempting.
One other Matt Damon film. Let's just go with Interstellar.
No. But also, I do not remember Matt Damon
being the captain, isn't he, that they go to?
I just literally can't remember him being in that film.
It's quite a big reveal moment.
It's been many years since I've watched that, but that's 3 points for you, Cardi, and the films were...
I think just two.
Just two?
Yeah, Martian and The Departed.
Oh no, I'm a fool. Okay, 7 points in total, but the movies
I get to have one guess.
Yeah, you get to have a steal, yeah.
I'm just going to go for The Lost Elysium.
Sadly not. When did that film come out? Jeez.
Maybe 2011, maybe?
That was another Neil Blomkamp.
Basically, it's Neil Blomkamp.
Was that bad?
Are we sure he's good? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He made an excellent film and then has proceeded to make bad films since.
Oh, Good Will Hunting.
Oh, I was just about to say the films were Good Will Hunting, The Martian, The Departed, and The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Mr. Ripley. I love Mr. Ripley. Good Philip Seymour Hoffman in that.
Just realised those are four films I have not watched.
Oh, sort your life out.
Matt, it's on to you.
So what numbers have we done?
We have done 6.
2, 4, 6, 10.
Yeah.
7.
7. This is a good one, and one that Cardi would have loved to have. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Just say it.
So There Will Be Blood.
That's 1 point for you.
Gangs of New York.
That's two.
Phantom Thread.
No.
Oh, I've got to get a steal ready.
This puts me a bit more on edge now, because I'm like, how is it not Phantom Thread?
I've got two in my back pocket. I'm just putting that pressure on.
Biggest Daniel Day-Lewis fan getting ready.
Yeah.
I'm not the thing is, I haven't actually seen anywhere near all of his films.
No. I'm actually now trying to narrow down actual kind of famous DDL performances. Because I think those actually now I come to think, I think those are the only three films I've seen him in.
Oh, I've got a couple others, bangers on the old IMDb.
Shit, I don't actually think I know another one.
Do you want to pass?
I won't pass, but I'll just say, just in case he's in it, just because it's kind of going through the filmography. Is he in Magnolia?
No.
It's not there.
Oh, I've got a choice of two. And I think they might both be on there, so I've got to pick one of them. Lincoln?
You've got it.
Oh, of course. And
my other was going to be Last of the Mohicans.
Yep, that was also there. So there will be blood for the Last of the Mohicans, Lincoln, and Gangs of New York.
The other one I just thought is, was it Nine he was in? The
he
one
was
about
in
the,
Nine. My Left Foot, Age of Innocence. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Alrighty. So we have got just a few left. What numbers would you like to go for?
Uno. One.
Yeah, I know. Chris Pine.
Pine?
Yep. Yeah.
That underrated Chris. we'll go Star Trek again.
That's one.
We'll go with Wonder Woman.
That's two.
We'll go with, do you know what? A film I have a big soft spot for. Unstoppable.
Sadly, not there.
That's a good runaway train film with Denzel Washington.
Is that like one of Tony Scott's last films?
It's really good. It's just a real good, looks like hour and a half popcorn film. One more, Pine. Would Don't Worry, I'm going to go Don't Worry, Darling. Didn't like it, but, you know,
sadly,
it was in the news a lot, wasn't it?
Not there. Well,
you've got two shots at the Pine.
It's just one of those, like, is it going to be a weird, because this is the whole point of the game, right? They're all fine weird ones. So I'm going to choose a weird one, and I'm going to say Into the Woods.
Ooh.
Sadly not.
He plays a very good Prince Charming in that.
Yeah.
You're going to kick yourself when you hear the rest.
It's not going to be D&D, is it?
No, sadly not. I'll tell you now, it is, in order, Star Trek, Wonder Woman, Star Trek Beyond, Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh, my God.
Poor Chris Pine. He's better than those.
Yeah, very sad. All right. Yeah. What are we going for next?
Go on, Matt.
Eight. Have we taken eight yet?
No,
we haven't. Zendaya.
Oh, shit.
Zendaya's Michi.
Yeah.
Can you remember what film that is?
So, Dune, part one.
Sadly not.
No! That was going to be like the lock.
Okay.
There's a couple here that are just pretty stupid, but
I'm going to say Spider-Man Homecoming.
There's one point.
Now, I think IMDb doesn't just do films, right? So I'm going to say Euphoria.
Wrong.
What?
Sadly.
It's probably now the thing that she's most well-known for, is it?
Yeah.
I'm just going to, like, because of the Chris Pine issue, I'm going to say Spider-Man Far From Home.
That's another point.
And is the last one Spider-Man No Way Home?
Oh, I get it. I get time.
Yeah, I'm not going to reveal that information just yet.
I think it is only films. I'm going to stick with films.
Solid choice.
What was the black and white one with John
David Washington? where they play like an arguing couple?
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
It's supposed to be fucking dreadful, wasn't it?
There's also, but that's not going to be there, is it? It's like something like Marie something.
Say it.
I don't know it, so I'm not going to say. I don't know the full title. Something like Marie. I'm going to go The Greatest Showman.
That's a point for you, Cardi.
I've never seen it.
I haven't either.
It's a guilty pleasure for me.
So what was on there? Semi-enjoyable. Spider-Man Homecoming, The Greatest Showman, Malcolm and Marie.
Oh, Malcolm.
And Spider-Man Far From Home.
Malcolm. How is Dune not there? That is insane.
It must be some weird algorithm thing. Like, because it wouldn't be like the person's agent.
That's the first time we've had one that I'm like, how is Dune not there?
Yeah. No one has watched Malcolm and Marie. It was critically panned.
Didn't even hear about it. Didn't even know about it until now.
There we go. What numbers are left?
We have three, five, and nine.
Three, five, nine. I'll go with five.
Viggo Mortensen.
Do I do them all?
My favourite
Do
boy.
I do them all? but the thing is, which one is it going to be? Do I use all three of my guesses? Because it kind of snookers Matt as well at the same time. Because it's like, there's not, you know, which other Viggo... I don't want to. It's boring if I just say all three.
Go for your favorite. Whatever
that changes. That changes. But my favorite is not going to be that one.
Okay.
We'll go Fellowship.
Not there.
Oh, jeez. Return of the King.
All right, 1 point.
Okay. I'll go off off piece a little. The Road?
Not there.
Really?
I should have just stuck with Bloody Lord of the what other one?
These are two films I haven't heard of.
Before. That gives me a hint.
Return of the King.
I've got options. There's the film, I know what it's called, but I thought was quite bad, that won the Oscar a few years ago. But I'm going to go for History of Violence.
No, sadly not.
Jesus Christ. Matt, you get a steal then.
Yeah.
You sound so defeated, Matt.
One of my favourite films that he's done, like, is the one that I want to say, but it's almost certainly not going to be it. So
I mean, you never know.
There is one Lord of the Rings film we haven't said.
Be brave, Matt. You can do it.
I'm going to say Mr. Fantastic.
It's not called Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, is it not called Mr. Fantastic?
I'll let you have it.
But yeah, Captain Fantastic.
Captain Fantastic, yeah.
There we go.
Is it the Two Towers, the other one?
Yeah, Two Towers.
Oh, there's Two Towers?
Yeah, Two Towers and then Eastern Promises. Well,
Eastern Promises was the other one I was thinking of.
What's Captain Fantastic?
It's like it's a slightly Wes Anderson-ish sort of film where he looks after a bunch of people and they live like out in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
It's really good.
All right. We have a couple more. 3 and 9 left.
Go on, Matt. What are you picking? 3 or 9?
9.
Ooh.
Timothy Chalamet is your choice.
Dune Part 1.
That's 1 point.
Hey. Call Me By Your Name.
That's 2 points.
Yay.
Good film, that, isn't it?
French Dispatch?
Sadly not.
No. Lady Bird.
3 points for you.
Oh, I've only got one shot of the Chalamet. The Timothy. These all Timothy. Films that have come out. Oh, I'm going to go with my heart. Little Women.
No. Sadly not. You have Call Me By Your Name, Lady Bird, Beautiful Boy, and June.
I wasn't going to say Beautiful Boy. There we go. Right. Got one more, so I'll have, what is it? 3, is it?
3. Anna Kendrick.
I actually really like Anna Kendrick.
So yeah, I'll swap you Daniel Day-Lewis for Anna Kendrick. Scott Pilgrim.
No.
What's it called?
What are you thinking, Carly? Go on,
a cappella film? What's it called?
No hints here, buddy. Anna Kendrick's biggest fan is just waiting, itching to get the answer.
What are those series of films called?
killing you inside.
What are they called? I can't for life.
Sounds like you're going to say
what those series of films are called. It's
you might have to think of something else, Cardi.
I know. Time Up in the Air.
Out. Okay, 2.
I like that film.
Very 2 good. Points.
I didn't get the first one.
I know. Just 1.
It's annoying me so much that I can't think of this series of films because it's probably going to be like 2 points, isn't it? It must be like what else is she in?
Think deep into your brain, Cardi. Unlock those memories.
I can't stop thinking. It's a different... It's a British film called Little Voice, and it's not that. It's so annoying.
It's the one with Jane Horrocks in.
Yeah. I don't know why. That's just in my head the whole time. Oh, my God. This is going to irritate me so much.
You're
going
to have to pass this over.
No, it's fine. I'm going to get it.
You're not.
I'm going to get it.
You're not.
I'm going to get it.
People are screaming right now. Gonna have to pass it to Perslow.
No, let me just think of a different Anna Kendrick film then. Can I think of a different Anna Kendrick film?
Not now that you've tormented your mind trying to think of this one series.
Yeah, it's... I'll pass it. What is it? Put me out of my misery.
It's Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect. That's it. Jesus Christ. Wow. There, have your point. It'd be fun if it's not on there now.
It is Pitch Perfect, yes.
There we go. What was the other one?
Lord. The rest of the films are Up in the Air, Pitch Perfect, Trolls, Into the Woods.
Oh, Into the Woods, we could have had. Trolls, wasn't going to get that. Anyway, what were those scores, Jesse? Did you manage to add those up?
Total scores is 13 for you, 8 for Matt.
Oh, there we go.
That wasn't as... That was closer than I expected.
Are you sure you added that up right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if I got it wrong, then email it in. And then I'll cry.
Anyway, that was fun for us.
Someone is legitimately now going to rewind this and listen back.
Oh yeah, you know, absolutely, that's fine. And you know what? There could be a point that's wrong. At this point, I don't care.
Look, I still think the result, you know, the score might have been wrong, but the result was right.
Was class.
It's a victory. Anyway, I enjoyed that. Good stuff. I still do it. Why don't we do it with directors one day? That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
I mean, I feel like only you would win, though. Like,
no.
No, of course not.
We've got a couple of bits of feedback. Send your feedback to IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. What we got first, Matthew?
Got one from Sam Oates, who says, "Hi, IGN UK crew. Long time, second time. My first email didn't get read out aloud. However, my suggestion for calling the game One Star Wars was..."
There we go.
So Sam is the creator of One Star Wars, the title, not the game. So I'm chuffing glad I contributed somehow. I write in because despite not having a movie I saw a ridiculous amount of times in the cinema, like most people seem to, my record is 3 for Infinity War. I have, however, been to the cinema to see 3 different films in a day before. It started with the annoyingly bland Steven Spielberg War of the Worlds film.
That film's fine. It's not bad.
Yeah, I didn't like it when it first came out, because when at that age, I was massively into like the Jeff Wayne musical and the book, so I didn't like it that it wasn't set in Victorian England, but I've warmed to it now. Then it got drastically better, as it was followed by Kung Fu Hustle and crescendoed with Batman Begins. The ticket lady was very confused when we bought the tickets to the third film, as we had been there so often she thought she must have thought the real world had glitched or something. While not as impressive as marathons like Lord of the Rings in one sitting, it still equates to about 8 to 9 hours of cinema watching and a lot of trailers. Jesus. It got me thinking if any of the IGN UK crew has ever watched multiple different films in the cinema in one day, or if they ever did it with films completely tonally different, like Midsommar to Toy Story 4 or something like that. All the best. Don't forget to respect our troops and seas. From Sam Oates. P.S. The superior form of donuts are the ones out of a donut van, but miniature. We used to call them Dinky Donuts or Diddy Donuts in the marketplace near where I grew up. Very solid rock sugar to donut ratio.
Good. Good stuff.
I used to have an Odeon Limitless card. I've done 2 in a row. Which I wouldn't say were massively tonally different, but I can remember going to see John Wick 2, which I still hold up as... I've not seen 4, but John Wick 2 is still my favourite John Wick.
Well, 4 blows out of the water.
Does it? I'm looking forward to watching 4. But I still really... I rewatched the 3 of them a couple of weeks ago, and 2 is still my favourite. But I watched that and came out, and it was like quite late at night at this point, and they were going into their final screenings. I just decided I was going to go and see Trainspotting 2. So I went immediately from John Wick to Trainspotting 2, which...
I still haven't seen Trainspotting 2.
I quite liked it. Like, I'll probably never watch it again, but it was decent.
Yeah. Haven't seen the first film yet, and I feel like I should.
You've got to be in the right... It's one of... I've only ever seen it once. It's
good, but it's miserable.
Tough. It's tough.
It's the kind of film I enjoy.
And then I also did, I can remember going at like 9 in the morning to go and see Ready Player One. And then immediately went into, after that, I went to see Isle of Dogs.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done it at the cinema. I've done plenty of times at home where I've watched like 3 or 4 films in a day. But like, I can't remember going to cinema and seeing like 2 in a row. I don't think I've done that. But some boring answer.
Yeah, I mean, my answer is not entirely entertaining. I watched Civil War, and then we got on our like receipt. It was like, 50% off your next ticket. So then we watched Batman v Superman right afterwards and was severely disappointed.
Jesus, they are two films that try to do the same thing, of which one is much more successful than the other.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's the only time I've done something like that.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. I've got an email here from Stephen Geller who says, "Hi team, I finished God of War Ragnarok's main story recently and found myself surprisingly initially underwhelmed. I'm not quite sure what it was, but I think I felt overwhelmed with all the new characters, worlds and potential storylines to pursue, so I ended up pushing through the main story until it was over, as the sheer enormity of the game felt like it was weighing on my shoulders. If I had to give it a personal review at that point in time, it would have been a solid 8 out of 10. I listened to the Spoilercast episode you did ages ago once I rolled credits and realised there was loads I missed, so I jumped back in to wrap up a side quest or two. Weirdly though, I realised that I was suddenly enjoying the game 10 times more than I ever did before. That now means it's an 80 out of 10. I added that, sorry. I'm not sure if it was the lack of impending doom, the beefed up Kratos I was now in control of, or knowing that the entire game world is open for me to explore without limitation, but it was suddenly way more fun. My question is, have you ever found a game more fun once you've beaten it for the first time? I guess this could apply to some games with New Game Plus mechanics, but keen to hear if anyone's had a similar experience. Thanks, Stephen. I bet that's kind of what you were speaking about with Jedi earlier. Like, once you've unlocked everything, games like this, once you've unlocked everything that have that slight Metroidvania element to them, I always find it is best. Like, it's kind of similar in some ways with the Lego games. Just push through all the main story, then go back and unlock everything in all of them. Yeah, similar to that. I mean, a lot of games like that. One, actually, I feel like when I first finished The Witnesses main story, I thought, this is very good. This is like a very, very good puzzle game. It's not until I went back, did all the optional stuff, found all just the ridiculous like world puzzles and just like perspective things in that world and how ridiculously like engineered that island is, that I thought, like, this is one of the all-time like best games I've ever played. So that is one that I kind of looked more favorably upon after finishing the main story, I think.
I mean, in terms of, like, obviously New Game Plus, I'm actually quite excited at one point to play Resi 4's New Game Plus, just because that,
I'm gonna say that,
like, collecting all of the guns and, you know, kind of, like, I had a really good time with, one of the things I love that that game does is when you trade a gun back in, you do get pretty much all your money back, so you can do a lot of exchange and experimenting with the weapons, but to be able to do the entire game with all of the weapons to kind of pass around, and also, like, you can get the rocket launcher, right, with unlimited ammo in it, and I quite like the idea of having a bit of a mad time with that. In terms of things that aren't New Game Plus focused, to kind of jump back to the conversation we're having, like, in the middle of the podcast, my replays of Arcane stuff is always like, and obviously I love them the first time, you know, it's not like I'm going from struggle to adoration, but when you've not got the pressure of, like, you know, in Dishonored you want to do it like a perfect stealth the first time, when you go back in with the knowledge, it's like I'm letting myself loose and I just want to use every tool I've got to create the most elaborate death trap for just this one guard that didn't deserve it. that's genuinely very fun.
Nice. No, yeah, for sure. I mean, I was going to say Resident Evil 4 as well. Like, Resident Evil games have always had a good idea when it comes to just post-game, like, unlockables and stuff like that. So, yeah, Resident Evil 4 Remake, absolutely agree.
Yeah, good stuff. Let us know if you have any games like that. IGN _ UK feedback at IGN.com. What should we go for some music? See, there is one really good song in Guardians, but I always don't want to, I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it yet. I don't want to drop that needle drop because it is, it's very good, I think.
Well, something from Pitch Perfect.
Oh my god, I don't know if I can do that.
Are you trying to say that you think Pitch Perfect's bad?
I like half watched it once,
it's,
I wasn't
really
into it.
Fucking good.
Okay, for you, Matt, we'll
I'm not
play
no
a bit
I'm
of
not
per-
I'm not no, I'm no, not gonna
how about Matt. Into the Woods.
That's what you want to do. That's what you want to do.
Oh, why not? I'm just anything at this point. Into the Woods. Why not? Here we go. Have a lovely weekend.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Into the woods without delay, but careful not to lose the way. Into the woods, who knows what may be lurking on the journey. Into the woods to get the thing that makes it worth the journey. Into the woods to see the king,
to sell the cow,
to make the potion,
to see, to sell, to get, to bring, to make, to lift, to go to the festival, see to the world,
to get, to bring.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that, as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.